series today in the Old Testament book of Joshua. You might like to turn to it in your Bibles. It's on page 217. We're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 3. It really goes with chapter 4, but Jeremy will deal with that next time he appears, which is quite appropriate really, because part of chapter 4 is about remembering these events of chapter 3, so it'll be helpful to be reminded of them, I think, in 2 weeks' time. So, Joshua chapter 3, page 217. Now, who can remember the historical situation in the book of Joshua? So, what has gone before the book of Joshua?
Death of Moses.
Yeah, death of Moses. And what has Moses led the people to do? Yeah, they've come out of slavery in Egypt, haven't they? And they've gone round and round in the wilderness. So now, in the book of Joshua, the big thing that the people are going to do is
cross the Jordan,
enter the promised land, conquer the land. Okay. Now, I was very pleased with myself for this AI-generated image you might like to have a look at. It's amazing what the computer can do. I didn't need any help from a young person at all. And if you've got it open to Joshua chapter 3, you can see the situation there in verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. So there they are, camped by the Jordan River, and they know they've got to cross it to enter the promised land. So how do you think they might have felt? Daunted. I expect they did. It looks pretty impossible, doesn't it? How on earth are we going to do that? The two spies had somehow managed to get across, but it's different, isn't it, if there were loads and loads of you. Steve was telling me he'd been trying to calculate the number based on the book of Numbers, and I think it's quite big. Wives, children, animals maybe. It's a very difficult, daunting task, isn't it? And is it in verse 15, it says that the Jordan was in flood? So it's even worse, perhaps the worst possible time. The odds seem against them. It's as if there's this impassable barrier in front of them. What on earth are they going to do? And then, what are they going to meet on the other side of the Jordan? I know they've been encouraged by God in chapter 1 to be bold and courageous. And they've heard the reports from the spies that people are melting in fear of them. But I bet they must have wondered, what are we going to face when we get across the river, if we do? Perhaps they were daunted and rather fearful. Maybe there are times in our lives where we seem to be in an impossible situation. We don't know what to do. We feel like we've reached a dead end. Our way is blocked. Perhaps we're a bit fearful and daunted. Or maybe we'll find some things in Joshua chapter 3 which might help and encourage us when we face challenges. So we're going to have it read in two parts. And first of all, somebody. Judith, maybe, is going to come and read the first 8 verses for us. Thank you, Judith.
Joshua, chapter 3, starting at verse 1, crossing the Jordan. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. This is the word of the Lord.
So, the people of God face this challenging, seemingly impossible situation. What are they to do? Well, let's have the next slide, please. They're to follow God in God's way. See that there in verse 2. They're to see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord their God and the priests and the Levites carrying it. And you are to move out from your positions and follow it. What was the Ark of the Covenant? Well, it lived in the tabernacle where God met his people, in like the throne room of the tabernacle there. And it's like God's throne. So God is spirit and invisible. He's symbolically enthroned between the cherubim, those angel-like creatures on the throne. So the Ark of the Covenant is like an empty throne where God, who is spirit, is symbolically enthroned above it. So it speaks to them of the presence of God. They're to follow the Ark, and it's a sign to them that God himself is going to lead them, just like he led them in the Exodus, in that pillar of cloud and of fire. They're to follow God in God's way. And that's the great emphasis of this chapter. They're told what to do, and then they do it. They're to obey God's word. Not only that, but next slide, verse 5, they're to be dedicated to God. It says in verse 5, consecrate yourselves. That means set yourselves apart as holy. Be dedicated. Remember, you're God's special holy people, and you're to live for him, different from all the world around you, set apart for God and his service. And there are quite a lot of things in this book of Joshua which are repeats of things that happened in the Exodus. We saw some echoes of that with Rahab being deceitful to the king, like the Hebrew midwives had been. We saw the spies hiding amongst the flax. Perhaps it reminded us of Moses hidden among the bulrushes, hiding from the king who's going to trying to kill him. And likewise, when the people came to Sinai, they were told to specially consecrate themselves and dedicate themselves to God because God was going to give them the law. And here again, they're specially to dedicate themselves to God because God is going to do something again. They're to trust God's leader, verse 7. God says to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Moses was their great leader, their great rescuer, their go-between with God. And perhaps now they feel rather bereft. What are they going to do without Moses? Well, Joshua is going to be like a new Moses. He's going to lead and deliver the people. They're to trust God's leader. Follow God in God's way. Be dedicated to God. Trust God's leader. Well, let's see what happens next. And Tim is going to read the second part of our passage for us.
Joshua, verse 3, chapters 9 to 17. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the salt sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Tim. So, let's have the next slide, please. Do you see that emphasis again there in verse 9? Joshua says to them, come here and listen to the words of the Lord. That's a great point of the whole chapter, really, to listen to God, to do what he says, to follow him in his ways. And then the great thing in this chapter is that God does it again. So they come out of slavery in Egypt. God had parted the Red Sea before them. And here, as they go into the Promised Land, God does it again. So this miraculous crossing of the waters, it bookends their escape from Egypt and their going in to the Promised Land. What is the point? Well, surely that God is still powerful. God is still with them. God still keeps his word. He can be trusted. Listen to God's word, not only because you should do what God says, but because God keeps his promises. He goes before his people. He leads them. He saves them. Now, has anybody got a trip to Europe planned? Anybody going to, yes, perhaps going to France? I wonder if you'll go down to Calais and think, this is a bit tricky, isn't it? How are we going to get to Europe? You're probably not expecting the miraculous parting of the waters, are you? So what does this chapter mean to us? Well, let's have our final slide. And we'll try to think about it in the context of the whole Bible. Well, it's a remarkable coincidence that Jesus' name is actually a form of the name Joshua. It means the Lord saves. And Jesus is the great saviour. God might have begun to exalt Joshua in the sight of the people. But Jesus is the one who's been risen from the dead, ascended, exalted above any name that could be given, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Jesus made his own exodus through the cross as he went out from this world. He set us free from slavery to sin and death and hell. He passed through the waters of death to lead us into the promised land of heaven and the new creation. So what's the big picture message of the book of Joshua? It's to trust in the new and better Joshua. That Jesus is still powerful to save. That God still keeps his promises. That Jesus is able to bring us safely into the promised land of heaven and the new creation. Well, it doesn't solve all our problems for us, does it? We might face many challenges in life, and we might not have a miraculous delivery from them, sometimes as they did in Bible times. But we can remember that God is still with us. God is still powerful, and he means to get us to heaven and the new creation. Perhaps sailing in happily, probably rather battered and bruised, but nevertheless brought safely through to the promised land. Let's pray together. And Father, we pray for ourselves and others who are perhaps facing big challenges or might at some time in our lives. Lord, please help us to be ready in those situations, to be resolved to follow you and your ways, to trust your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who has overcome sin and death and hell for us, and opened us a new and living way into your presence, into the promised land of heaven and the new creation. Help us to trust in him for his great name's sake. Amen.